Thankful for our visitors with us this morning. Thankful to see Sister Ann back with us. She's had the shingles and hadn't been able to come. And I'm thankful she's got a portion of health to be back today. We're going to take a very familiar reading lesson out of Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas had got put in jail. They got put in jail or thrown in prison for they'd cast an evil spirit out of a certain damsel that soothsayed, and she was a fortune teller. And they cast the spirit out, and or Paul had cast the spirit out of her, and her masters had got really mad about it. Kind of got into their pocketbook. They was making their living from her telling fortunes. And so, being the troublemakers they was, you can take and upset one or two sometimes, and one or two, if they've got some influence, can cause you a lot of trouble. And they caused Paul and Silas enough trouble that they got them thrown in prison over it. But Paul and Silas, it didn't seem to disturb them that much. They knew they'd done what was right in the sight of God. And they just went right on serving the Lord, whether they was out going from town to town preaching the Word of God or from temple to temple. They just went right on to jail and just kept serving the Lord. And that's the kind of attitude we need to have. The kind of attitude that Stephen had, you know. The Bible says to turn the other cheek, and it says to pray for your enemies. And Stephen's last breath, that's what he done. He told these people what they'd done and how they'd crucified the Lord. And when he told them that, boy, they just run upon him. And they would begin to drug him out of the city, and they stoned him, and they stoned him to death. But he looked up and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. And in his last words, he prayed that God would not lay that sin to their charge. And that's the kind of attitude we're to have. And boy, I'm going to be honest with you. You let some of them come after you sometime, and it's hard to have that attitude, ain't it? It really is. But we need to have that attitude, because if we'll have that attitude, we'll make a difference in people's lives. See, Stephen made a difference in a young man that was standing there named Saul. And it changed him completely. Not only the words that he said, the words was important to what he said, but you got to remember this man Saul was going out after these people that simply believed in Christ. That ones that had been, he wasn't going out after big murderers or tough people. He was going out after people that had been taught to turn the other cheek, that taught to pray for their enemies. And so Saul didn't only hear what Stephen said there, he saw what he done. A lot of times we say our actions speak louder than our words, and I don't doubt one bit. As Stephen stood there and said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge," his action didn't speak as just as loud as at least as the words he just got through saying. So here he is. Saul is now called Paul, and he's an apostle, and he's preaching the Word of God, and he's doing the same thing Stephen was doing. And he saw the attitude Stephen had. He saw how he'd heard at least the attitude that Christ had had. When it come time, he was led before the slayers as a sheep. And he saw all this, and he kept that example. And he handled himself in this situation like he should have. And that's what my prayer always is. No matter how much people may come after me, and they may attack me, that I'll still always handle myself like I should. Because people are watching. And I'm fixing to read to you about how a man was there in this situation, and it didn't only change his life, but it changed his household's life. And then no telling how many people's lives he may have changed and his household may have changed. So how we handle ourselves in certain situations, people, is going to make a difference. So Paul and Silas here had been cast into prison. Y'all help me today. Pray for me. I can just keep this so simple that the least one here could understand or the oldest one could understand. One that maybe not ever been around that much could understand. And a multitude rose up together against them in the 22nd verse. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there arose a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awaked out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And here's what they told him. So many times we complicate everything up so much. But here's what he said to the man. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And he spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized and all his straightway. And he brought them into his house. He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. This is the man was gave charge to cast them to the innermost part of this prison, in the safest place where they couldn't escape, the deepest part of the prison. And that while they was in prison, we find where they sung praises unto God, Paul and Silas. Their attitude never changed. They kept right on serving God. And no doubt this man heard them, and no doubt he was thinking, how can we put them in prison? How can they been beat and have these stripes? How could they went through all what they've been through? And then we cast them in here in prison. We put them their feet was locked up in these things. They made sort of like out of wood, and they locked them up there to where they couldn't even walk. They couldn't do nothing, but yet they just sat and sang praises unto God. And then this earthquake comes, and this man, he realizes that he's going to fail at his job, and he's ready to kill himself. And the doors is flung open, and Paul says, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And I want you all to realize not only Paul and Silas was there, I believe the people that was around there, every one of them stayed. And that part, I really have a hard time. But I believe they also, Brother Larry, saw the example of this man named Paul and Silas and how they had handled what they'd been put through. They was in prison too. And I'll be honest with you, if I was in prison, the door flung open, I'd probably be looking for a way out. But I want you to know they stayed too. They wanted to hear more about this man called Jesus, that somebody could change you from the inside out. And they'd been, no doubt, that everybody that's ever been changed, that's where it starts. It starts on the inside, and then it changes the outside. That amazes me, but that's what God can do. But I want you to realize he was scared to death. He was troubled. He had heard all these things, but most of all, he had seen their example. I want you to realize today, no matter what you say, if you act a totally different way, people see that. But they'd seen, he had heard and saw the example of these men, and he come to them trembling and fell down, and he wanted to know, what must I do to be saved? He wanted to have what they had. He knew there was something different about these men. And if it'd been me, I would probably have started off with Adam, and I would have went through the awfulest rigmarole ever was and told them, and I believe they told him the word. But what it boiled down to is believe. We complicate things sometimes way too much. And I believe you have to believe with all your heart. I don't believe you can just simply make a decision. I'm not saying that. But I am saying you must believe. You must completely surrender that He is the Savior. You are guilty. Just like I believe that jailer realized that he was guilty. And he wanted to have what they had. And that man, which was just an old jailer, was able to give it. In Matthew chapter 7, we quote these scriptures a whole lot, and I could have quoted them, but we'll read them because I can read them maybe a little better than I can quote them. In the 21st verse, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work of iniquity." So here proves to us that just simply believing in the mind won't get it done. You can make a mental decision to serve God and do all you can to serve God, but if you never truly believe from all your heart that you're a sinner and He come and died for your sins, you'll never get saved. But He said that he that doeth the will of my Father, and I know what it says in the third chapter of 1 Peter. It says, it's not God's will for any should perish, but all come unto the repentance. And I believe that in all my heart. And I believe repentance and faith work together. I believe what the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God. There ain't nothing you can do outside of faith to please God. But we find a certain place where we find what the will of the Father is. And there's scriptures that tells us about that. And my thought today is just believing. That's what He's asking for you. I hear some people say that, and I don't mean to tear down nobody else, but I don't like hearing people say, go here or go there. I want you to realize, I hear them say that's being obedient unto the call. I call it works. I really do. I believe it's nothing no more than works. I believe God in His Word has told us repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. All truly God wants you to do is repent and put your trust in Him. And everything we do after that, telling people, is complicating things. And I don't mean to sound mean in this, but people, we need to just let them seek the Lord until they know they've completely surrendered and they've got peace from God, and then let it be. And I believe if we'll do that, we'll start seeing more things like we used to see and not complicate things up so much. But when you tell somebody that you need to go up over here or go over there, one of the ones they'll use is Zacchaeus, about how he had to climb a sycamore tree to be saved. I want you to know, if I'd had to climb a sycamore tree, I would have never got up there. I would have never got saved. I'm scared of heights. I can tell you right now, I'm not a good climber. I would have failed. I want you to realize, God, you ain't got to climb a sycamore tree to get saved. All you've got to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and repent of your sins, realizing you're a sinner, And I want you to realize the Bible says all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe that in all my heart. I don't believe that the Word of God has no lies in it. We're liars, every one of us. But the Word of God is true, and it'll stand when this world is on fire. Then he said unto them, in the 6th chapter of John, the 34th verse, or the 35th verse, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And that the Father giveth me shall come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. That is showing you the plan of salvation here. It's going to be the plan of salvation and the security of the believer. For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now listen, we said a while ago to do the will of the Father. And he said, and this is the Father's will, which he hath sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose none. I want you to know, if you're a child of God, he has never lost not one. We're in the palm of his hands, and he's not going to lose us. And he said that I should not lose none. But listen, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. I want you to realize this the will of God that you believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And I want you to realize today, it's very important for us to make that point, that it's believing and trusting in the Lord, repenting of your sin, that you realize you're a sinner, and then believing totally in Jesus Christ and completely just surrendering to his will to be done in you. And I want you to know, when you do that, you'll find peace. I tried everything I know to do. I went for 2 or 3 years trying to be saved, trying to do everything I know to do. And the first time that I put my trust in him and I just believed that he was able to save me, he saved me. You don't have to go to an altar 100 times. You don't have to have people ask you over and over and over. All you have to do is, when you realize you're lost and separated from God, is bow a knee to him, or just bow in your heart. You can be driving down the road and get saved. Walking up towards this bench and get saved. But make an altar in your heart. In other words, surrender to him completely and believing in him with all your heart. And he will save your soul. That's God's will. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, to whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to know, those who believe not are condemned, but those who believe in the only begotten name of God have everlasting life. It takes believing. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. Listen to me. You can be saved today, and it's just as simple as putting your trust in the Lord. And we don't need to complicate it, make it no harder than that. Some people will still never get saved, because some people will never surrender what they know has got to be the truth. No matter how much evidence they see, no matter how much they hear, some of them will just never put their trust in the Lord. But I want you to realize today, you can. Amen. Y'all help us. Pray for us just a little longer. I'm going to go just a little further. And then I guess we'll probably be done. Be the Lord's will, I don't know. I want to go back to Paul again. In the 26th chapter, Paul telling his testimony. Y'all ever noticed Paul told his testimony when he had a chance to talk to the ones that was higher up? He told them what the Lord had done for him on the road to Damascus, how there had been a change. And Paul made it to the King Agrippa. And there was one named Festus there, the governor. And he spake for himself. Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself, and learn doeth make thee mad." Paul was telling him what the Lord had done for him. He said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And the king knoweth these things, before whom I have speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things were hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner." And I love that verse. In other words, it had not been hid from him. He knew the word, the scriptures. He's fixing to tell him that the king knew the scriptures. That nothing that's ever been hid from the prophesying from the very beginning had pointed towards Jesus Christ. And I believe in all my heart that he was saying, this is that thing ain't been hid. This ain't been done in a corner and secret. And I want you to realize here today, if somebody's never been in church one time, not once in their lifetime, it's not been hid from them. You look around out here at the creation. People will try to tell you, scientists will try to say that some little atom was split in two, and from this was some kind of great big explosion that mankind can't understand or fathom. And all the stars and all the planets and the sun and the earth and all was made of this from just one little bitty atom. Do you really believe that? I don't believe it. I don't have enough faith to believe that. But I believe the day that God created all of this, the heaven and the earth, the stars, and all these trees and everything out here, all these little children, God made every one of them. I believe that. I know I'm not jumping around. I'm trying to keep it simple today. I'm trying to just slow down just a little bit. I don't mind crying and jumping up and down and all those things. If God leads that way. I want your children to be saved. I want my grandbabies to be saved. I want my family to be saved. I want our loved ones to be saved. I want them to understand that they've got to believe. King Agrippa, believe us. Thou the prophets, I know thou believest. You can believe every word in this Bible and it still won't ever save you. You can read it from the front to the back, but until you believe that you're guilty, that Jesus came and died for you on a cross, till you believe that from the depths of your heart, you'll never be saved. And King Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I wonder how many people are there in hell that was almost persuaded. I've heard people say that's not our job to persuade them. Then what is their job? What was Paul trying to do? What's the church's job? The church's job is to preach the gospel and take it into all the world. Our job is to persuade lost people to believe. And Paul said, "I would to God, not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Paul said his heart's desire was for all Israel to be saved. He was just like God. He did not want one to perish. I don't want one to perish. So if you may be asking today a question, what must I do to be saved? Believe us. Believe today that Jesus came and died for your sins. That's what the will of the Father is. That's why He sent His Son, that you might be saved. Yeah, I said you. He sent Him for the world, but He sent Him for you today. He sent Him for this moment right now. Amen. A moment that could change everything for you. It wouldn't only change your destination and your eternity, but He changes lives. He turned Paul, who was Saul, just a murderer, somebody that persecuted the church. He turned him into an apostle, and I believe in my heart, one of the greatest. I want you to know He can change your life. But you've got to believe. I've never heard nobody say that they wish they'd never believed on the Lord. I've never heard nobody say that they was ashamed that they believed in Jesus. I've seen people act that way. And when you do that, other people see that. I went to the bar. Y'all heard me tell this. I went to Circle G one day and get my piece of barbecue. I was working. I was in a great big hurry, and I got my barbecue. And I sat down in yonder, and I thought, I'm not going to bless this today. This place is full, and I don't want people staring at me. And I was sitting, and then all of a sudden, he said, "You be ashamed of me, and I'll be ashamed of you." Next thing you know, not only was I blessing that food, but tears was rolling, and I was talking to the Lord just like I'd up here on an altar somewhere. And when I raised up, people was looking at me like I'd lost my mind, just like I thought they would. But you know something? They thought Paul was mad. Yeah. I bet you that jailer thought they was mad when he heard them in yonder singing and crying and testifying unto God, and them in jail knocked up in these bonds. I bet he thought they was the nuttiest people he'd ever heard of. And then all of a sudden, nerves shake. One of these days, listen to me, your world's going to shake. One of these days, He's going to shake up your world. You're going to realize that you're lost and separated from God. And the only hope you have is go towards God. And that man, all he needed to do is go to them and ask them to find out what he needed to do. And they said, just simply believe. And that's what I'm telling you today. Just simply believe with all your heart. And it won't only change your life, but it'll change your household's life. That's my little message. I pray somebody today got it. And you don't have to, but we'll give an altar call. This is a good place to come. But I done told you, God, what God wants you to do is repent and trust in the Savior. That's the only thing required. You can do it at an altar. You can do it where you're sitting. You can do it at home. You can do it going down a road. You can do it walking. You can do it wherever. But do it when God is calling. If God is dealing with you today and He's drawing you to a place to believe, won't you come? Come and believe today. And let Him change you from the inside out. As we stand and sing.